I'm John Krall. Today on No Limits, we're going to talk about a new online platform that helps people who want to provide support for friends, family members, or others in need. It's called What Friends Do. We'll discuss what it does, how it got started, and how it can be used. My guests are Amy Kandrak, Jen DeMott, and Jill Tursik, all of whom are with What Friends Do. Please join the conversation. Call 866-476-3881. Email is nolimits at WFYI.org. Facebook is nolimits WFYI. Twitter is WFYI. Now, this news. Welcome to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We're going to be talking today about What Friends Do. It's a new online platform that provides a structure to help people who want to provide support for friends, family members, or others who are in need. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits at WFYI.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimits WFYI or on Twitter at WFYI. My guests are Amy Kandrak, who is the founder and CEO of What Friends Do, along with Jill DeMott, who is the head of customer experience, and Jill Tursik, who is with product development. Welcome to all of you.
Thank you.
Thanks, John.
It's good to have you here. So, Amy, I'm going to start with you. Tell me what Friends Do is. Give me a description.
What Friends Do for the general user is a website that you can go to and create a community to organize help when someone's going through any kind of major life event. So you can share your story about what's going on with a blog to keep everyone updated. You can have a calendar, because one of the things that happens when someone's in the hospital or has been diagnosed with a serious illness is that friends and loved ones want to help. They want to bring meals, but there are things other than meals that need to happen. And that calendar online allows for friends to sign up according to their availability, as well as the needs of the family. Additionally, we have some other resources available, like the ability to make online contributions, the ability to have a list of items you might need that can be fulfilled via Amazon. So it doesn't matter where your friends are located. They can help you from anywhere in the world with internet access.
How did this get started? Where did the idea come from?
So What Friends Do was started when a loved one of the family was diagnosed with terminal brain cancer when she was 25.
Your family, I presume.
My family. My sister's very, very best friend. And her name was Laura. She went on family vacations with us as a kid, just, you know, almost family. And my mom, Fran, and my sister, Stephanie, were organizing help for Laura's family while they were in the hospital. And not only that, they were sharing information. Everybody wanted to know what was going on. Everyone wanted to know the status. But sending multiple emails, sending multiple texts gets really overwhelming. Telling the story over and over again gets exhausting, especially when you're trying to help someone recover. And so from that experience, we learned that if we could provide a platform and an easy way for people to stay informed as to what was going on, the family could then focus on healing and just tell the story one time. Additionally, what we learned is if we could give people very specific times and items for which they could help. Hey, can you walk the dog at 3 o'clock tomorrow? Everybody was thrilled to do that. And not only that, they kept coming back rather than drifting away.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about What Friends Do. It's a new online platform that provides structure to help people who want to provide support for a friend or a family member who is in need. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can reach out to us via Facebook and find us at No Limits WFYI or Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a listener named Deb has done and send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. Deb says a friend receiving treatment for cancer had a WFD, I'm assuming that means what friends do, page set up for her. It was wonderful in that it allowed friends to know exactly what they could do to help her, rather than the "if there's anything I can do" offer. Any level of assistance is possible, from sending a card to shoveling snow. It's a wonderful program. You know, obviously, Jen, your responsibility here is with customer experience, and we are going to get into how all of this works, too, how you maintain the platform, how you pay the bills, all of that sort of stuff. But something like that's got to make you feel good.
Oh, it makes us feel great. That's I have one of the greatest jobs in the company, because I get to be the new best friend with the organizer of the team. So as Amy said, a lot of times we're touching people at the most difficult time in their life. So we have friends or a family member that wants to support their friend, and I get to reach out to that team organizer and give them ideas, help them set up the team. And I really get to know a lot of those organizers. And it's great. It's great to see. A lot of times people think, oh, I don't need help with this, or it's okay, I can do it myself. And then when people start helping, when people show up with meals, when people show up to help clean the house or plant flowers or mow the lawn or make donations or purchase things off of the wish list, it's the person, the friend in need, is so grateful that they were able to accept that help. And the friends are so grateful that they were able to give it.
So walk me through, you've already used a term here that we probably need to explain, the organizer. Mm-hmm. Walk me through, as the customer experience person, suppose I have a friend who is in some need, mm-hmm. For whatever reason. How do I go about using this website? First place, where's the URL? Where do I go to get started?
You simply go to www.whatfriendsdo, it's all one word, .com. And we make the setup process very easy. It's just a few simple steps. You can set up an account fairly quickly. We also have an online chat where typically you get to chat with me. So, and I will help you walk through the steps. If there's any place that you stumble, or if you have questions, or you're just not exactly sure what to set up for your friend at this time. But the process is very easy to do. And then the organizer is typically the person that is the most organized. So the one that says, I'm going to do this, I'm going to set it up for my friend. Sometimes it's a best friend. Sometimes it's a coworker. Sometimes it's a family member. It's just the person that takes charge of the team.
But Jill, is that that's someone basically who serves in other, you know, digital forms? We talk about an administrator or whatever, the person who kind of controls the site, what's allowed on, what's allowed off, so that you're not, you know, sharing family stories from the 1920s that aren't relevant or whatever, that people stay on task. Is that the role of the organizer?
Yeah, the organizer is really, it works well if you have kind of a bossy, we kind of tease about that, but kind of a bossy person who's not afraid to tell people what to do. And what Jen is so great about is giving those ideas and doing it in a kind way. And one of the other things that is really critical for an organizer to do is often tell people what not to do. So you have people who just want to pop in and bring a meal, because that's what people do. And sometimes,
so the organizer, in effect, plays gatekeeper, too.
Yes, exactly. So the organizer She is, I say she because it typically is a she, will, as Amy mentioned, share the story or set up the calendar. They really do. They kind of run the website, or the team site. But again, it's they help guide people to make sure what they're doing for the friend is meaningful and helpful. And that's my job, is to kind of use technology to assist in that process and make it as easy as possible for a person to ask for help and receive help.
How hard was it to set up the platform to make this work?
Well, we've had a lot of practice because, as Amy said, she and her mom and her sister started this doing it kind of manually. But it's been a great learning experience doing the platform, setting up the platform. And we learn every day from our users. And that's one of the things we love to do. We love to listen to them, see where they're having struggling to maybe understand what they're going to do and or what they need to do. And we're learning and listening. And when we build the new site or build the new version of the site, we'll implement those kind of improvements.
So, Amy, talk to me a little bit about, they say you started this in a rather rudimentary, presumably existing platforms. How did you go about doing that? And what was it that led you to believe, oh, there's got to be an easier way?
Well, I think a lot, we started out doing this the way a lot of people might, Excel spreadsheets, emails, different things like that, and realized there are a lot of online tools and platforms, but none that were created specifically for organizing help online. And so this started out listing out the needs that we saw when you're doing basic organization for any kind of event, mm-hmm. But especially organization when you're helping with a crisis, and then deciding how we wanted it to be used, which is different than saying we need an Excel spreadsheet or a calendar, knowing that we needed this to be used not only to put information in, but for people to sign up from a different place. So then finding technology partners who can help us build those things, and making sure that the code is written the right way to get the user the best experience possible.
When did you decide that, okay, we've moved, in effect, through our crisis here, that really this is something I ought to do for a larger group of people?
It was my mom who was taking a class at her church, looking at her life skills. And I remember very clearly the phone call that came in one night in the middle of the winter after my kids had gone to bed. And she said, Amy, what we're doing for Laura and her family, we need to figure out how we're going to do this for more people. We need to make it online. We're pretty tech savvy. What are we going to do for this? And after some conversation and thinking, this was when Evite was getting started. Mm-hmm. And I said, we need to make it like Evite. We need to make this online, web-based for lots of people. And from there, What Friends Do started. We were looking at how other platforms were behaving online and different things like that. The company and the website have evolved over the couple of years that we've been around, from when we first started, mm-hmm. we had the opportunity to buy flowers online and people weren't doing that. Mm-hmm. And now we realize that people buy everything online. And so we've gone back to integrating that opportunity to make purchases and have them sent directly to your friend. So we've had to look at consumer behavior a lot. But the one thing that hasn't changed is people always want to help in this kind of crisis. This is not a new phenomenon. What we're doing is trying to make sure that the technology around organizing that help stays as up-to-date as possible and as easy to use as possible, because life events are going to continue to happen, and friends and loved ones want to help.
How did you come up with the name?
We tried a lot of names out, and it always came back to, well, it's just what friends do. It's what you do. And it stuck. What Friends Do is what we're doing, right? This is what it just lends itself to what we're doing.
Did Laura know that you were starting this?
She did know. And she was able to see some of our progress along the way. And I think that was one of the most special things and the largest tributes that we've been able to pay is that from her experience, we're able to help a lot of thousands and thousands of people.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about What Friends Do. It's a new online platform that provides structure to help people who want to provide support for a friend or family member in need. My guests are Amy Kandrak, Jen DeMott, and Jill Tursick, all of whom are with What Friends Do. I am John Krall. You are listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Krall, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StatehouseFile.com, and your host. We are talking about What Friends Do. It's a new online platform that provides structure to help people who want to provide support for a friend or a family member in need. My guests are Amy Kandrak, who is the founder and CEO of What Friends Do, Jen DeMott, who's the head of customer experience, and Jill Tursick, who is with product development. Well, before the break, we talked about sort of how the whole enterprise got started. And right before the break, Amy alluded to the fact that because of her friend's experience, thousands and thousands of people are now being helped, which raises the question, Jen, how many people are using What Friends Do right now?
Well, we have probably... It's difficult to count exactly because we have... We keep in touch with our most active teams at the moment, and we have teams that are not quite as active. And then we have teams that have 10 people on them because they want to keep it a close family team. And then we have other teams that have 400 people on them because they're opening it up to coworkers and friends and family and friends of friends and that type of thing. So Amy probably has a better idea of our total number of users, but it's, I think what we find is that we have users that are active, especially, for example, we have one team that was a patient with cancer. Team was extremely active. She went into remission, and then they weren't active any longer. She found out she has cancer again. Now we have an active team again. So we see a lot of those types of things. So we have users that are not always active, and then sometimes those teams come back around again. So it's hard to say active users at any one time.
Now, is there a charge for using the service? Amy's shaking her head. No.
The site is free to users, and that's something that is really important to the mission and why we started What Friends Do. If you're going through a life crisis, we don't want to make this another burden, especially a financial burden. But when the question always comes up, well, then how do you make money?
How do you pay the bills? How do you cover the costs?
How do we pay the bills? So What Friends Do has incorporated the opportunity to have an Amazon wish list. And we also have the opportunity to purchase T-shirts, you know, that might say a team name and some sort of support. And we receive a commission charge off of all of those purchases. So if you buy something online, the price to you as a consumer is exactly the same. Mm-hmm. But What Friends Do receives a commission on that.
In effect, a kind of finder's fee. Right,
correct.
That because you brought the business to Amazon or whatever.
Correct.
Now, is it with how large is the commission that say Amazon pays? If
the commission ranges between, I think 3% and 18%.
Okay, 18 at the high end.
18 at the high end, 3 at the low end, and it depends on the product. It depends on the quantity purchased. One of the things, though, that we really like...
I'm guessing 18% on the T-shirts and 3% on the stuff from Amazon, right?
Closer, yes, much closer.
Okay.
Well, and then we also receive a small fee when donations are made, similar to some of those other sites that people are probably a little more familiar with, like GoFundMe. Yeah. We use the exact same technology that they use, and we charge the same rates that they do. So we receive... money from that. Additionally, we have the opportunity now for caring organizations like hospitals to brand our platform and provide this for their patients.
Okay. So, and Jill, I noticed you said earlier that there's going to be a new, or maybe it was Amy, that you're developing a new platform or at least attempting to refine the one that you have right now, or is that a perpetual thing that goes on?
It's perpetual, yes. That's part of my job, to just constantly be tracking user feedback and implementing that into our product roadmap for, okay, how are we going to evolve the product over time? So absolutely, it's a constant. This platform is new. It really was just launched last fall, and so... you know, we are focused on that from a current user standpoint, but from my perspective, I'm always looking ahead.
Now, how did the three of you come together? I mean, how many people are working at What Friends Do? Am I looking at the entire team here, or how many people do you have involved, Amy?
No, we have probably three or four other definite employees who are on the books working for What Friends Do all the time. And we've all been working together full-time for about a year, but we've had relationships and been working on the website off and on together since its inception.
Okay, so what brought you guys together? Were you friends before all of this occurred, or did you find yourselves through? Jeff, I'll go with you.
I actually worked with Fran, Amy's mom, and happened to be... on Laura's team, the original team, and I didn't know Laura, and it's just kind of a testament to how What Friends Do works. Fran invited me by email to take part, and always had wonderful ideas, and I think one idea that sticks out was send a card with a scratch-off lottery ticket, and so I did that, and then I was bought in. I was part of her journey, and so that's how I met Amy, was through Fran, her mom.
This is probably taking me off of my narrative, but I'm going to ask, when I hear something like that, I'm always curious, since you didn't know Laura, what prompted you to respond and say, I want to help at that point?
I really think that's human nature, and I think that's the power of What Friends Do, and I think the timing is so right for this kind of technology because of social media and social networking and the ability to kind of get that snowball effect going, where you hear about a sick child and you spread it through the soccer moms and the church friends and the neighbors, and then it's just word of mouth, and before you know it, strangers are sending gifts and cards and buying T-shirts, and it's really cool. It's a really cool thing to see. So that's a big part of why I think we all love what we're doing.
And Jen, how did you get involved with this?
Actually, Amy and I have children in school together, and we have been friends for a long time, and I might have spent a few evenings on the porch discussing how we could make this business go. And so I had, it's such a passion for Amy, and being involved in it from the second platform, sort of from the beginning, just made me equally as passionate about it. And Amy knows that I love helping other people, and that my knack is for customer service. And so she brought me in to work with the customers. So it's been a good fit.
Go ahead.
I'm going to jump in quickly just about Jen's position, because Jen's position was not one that we had originally planned on having as a full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
And we realized we needed somebody to really have kind of a more personal hands-on experience. And that's one of the things that I think differentiates what Friends do. But Jen is a caregiver to a special needs child and is so compassionate. And I think that's one of the things that I'm really excited to be able to offer is the opportunity for Jen to help everyone through this experience. We like to kind of joke in the office that she's our friend expert, the friend expert. And she really takes that on. And I think we all take that on in the office pretty well because we are so passionate about helping people. That's why we've done this.
Are there parameters, though, for the people who are using? I mean, in terms of dealing with, you know, my own family or friends' crises at times, I mean, one might wish that they would occur on a 9-to-5 schedule, but that's not the way it works. I mean, are you on call all the time, Jen? Because you say primarily when they want to chat, it's you who responds. Are you doing that at 2 o'clock in the morning, or?
I have not done that at 2 o'clock in the morning, but I have done that at 11 o'clock at night. So I do at times feel like yes, I am on call a lot, but that's the nature of the situation. I think it just when someone is in a very stressful situation and they're trying to think of the right words to say or set up an account for their friend, that doesn't always happen at 2 in the afternoon. Sometimes that happens at 10 o'clock at night. So we're just there to help them through that process. And I do have a couple of teams right now where we have parents that are with their child during the day in the hospital. And so it's the evening hours when they have time to go in and update the blog. Sometimes they need assistance doing various things. And so that's what I'm there for.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about what Friends do. It's a new online platform that helps people provide support to friends or family members who are in need. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Twitter at WFYI, or you can do what a regular listener named Gary has done and reach out to us on Facebook. You can find us on Facebook at NoLimitsWFYI. Gary says, how does this site prevent or manage caregiver burnout? Friends eventually need a day or two off from helping. Do the calendars only open each need one at a time, or are there other ways that you know, like in this case, Gary, I'm going to paraphrase for you. If someone is the primary caregiver and wants to send up a flare and say, gee, I really need a day at the beach, or I need a day at the mall, or I just want to go see a movie or have dinner with my spouse or something like that. Jen.
That's what the site is all about. It's opening it up to your entire network of support, because a lot of times you as the caregiver are overwhelmed and it's extremely difficult to ask for help and to say, I just want to go out to dinner tonight. And I feel guilty about having someone else come over and sit while I go out to dinner. So that's what it's all about. It's about setting up a calendar and saying, I need time. I need a day off here. I need a day off here. I need a day off here. And then it doesn't always have to be the same family member, the same friend signing up for those items. It can be anyone. It can be a friend from church, a friend from school, a friend, a neighbor, a family member, so that you are allowing other people to help.
And additionally, we have a lot of ideas on the site to help with this exact situation. Some of those ideas being, if you live far away, send a gift card so that they can go out to dinner, mm-hmm. or send a meal that's already prepared that will arrive for them. So a lot of these things can happen and try to alleviate some of the burnout as well. Because yes, you do need a break, but anything that your friends can do to help alleviate some of the stressors along the way, we like to say that, you know, we're all of the help beyond the hospital walls. So who's going to be in charge of taking the garbage out every week? And who's going to be in charge of making sure that the car has gas? All of the other little things that can help reduce some of the stress for the caregiver. And putting all of those not only on the calendar, but as ideas and reminders for your friends that these are things that you can do without being intrusive and can really help everyone.
Now, does this work, Jill, as you know, in some ways when we talk about a URL or whatever, that requires an active step. And so much of our experience now is that we just expect things to come to us. Is there an app for this as well so that you get alerts when something is needed or anything like that, or is that the next stage of development?
We have something like that. The way we handle that now is when a team organizer updates a blog or adds something to the calendar, they can choose to notify the team. And so the team then would get an email notification that would let them know that the calendar has been updated, the blog has been updated. And that's a great question because it's very critical to get people to go back to the team page, because what we typically do is we take the meal or we send the card and then life gets busy. And we do forget sometimes that friends need ongoing help. And with what friends do, we remind them that, hey, you know, this is a 2-3 month process, and people step up to help more than once. It's just they do need to be reminded. We do not have an app right now. We are we have a mobile responsive website, and so we know a lot of our users through our analytics do use the site over the phone, but it's much easier for the organizer to set it up on the computer because she's looking at a calendar and trying to update a blog, so that it makes it a lot easier in that case to be on a desktop. But yeah, an app is coming. It's on the way, but not in the near future.
Well, and let me ask this. You mentioned, I think Amy mentioned, that at first you had it set up so that people could order flowers through there, and that was something that really didn't take off or work. What were some of the other lessons learned along the way about things that you thought might help people and, in fact, really didn't? There wasn't much demand for them, Amy.
I think that at first there were, like I said, a lot of those opportunities to buy online, and that didn't happen. And not that it wasn't helpful, but user trends and like people's use has changed. So some other lessons learned we've had on there is we originally thought of having message boards so that you could, you know, talk to different caregivers and you could have a community of friends who were all going to talk together about, you know, taking care of a friend with cancer. And we learned that there were other platforms doing that already, and those communities just kind of took off on their own. And so we pulled back into what kind of our core competency was, which was action and helping people take action when something's going on.
So what are the things they use the site for the most, would you say? Where are the heaviest demand areas?
I think the heaviest demand area is really in our calendar and in the blog. So people want to know what's going on. That's the first and foremost situation. If you don't know that something's going on with your friend, you're usually a little less compelled to want to help. But when you know the story and you know the situation, you're more compelled and want to help.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about What Friends Do. It is a new online platform that provides structure to help people who want to provide support for a friend or family member in need. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. That's a toll-free call. You also can reach out to us via email and find us at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Amy Kandrak, who is the founder and CEO of What Friends Do, Jen DeMott, who is the head of customer experience for What Friends Do, and Jill Tursik, who I am assuming heads up product development for What Friends Do. I am John Kroll. You're listening to No Limits. Please stay with us. Welcome back to No Limits. I am John Kroll, director of Franklin College's Pulliam School of Journalism, publisher of the StateHouseFile.com, and your host. We're talking today about What Friends Do. It's an online platform that provides some structure to help people who want to provide support for a friend or family member who's going through a hard time, either an illness or some other catastrophic life event. If you'd like to join the conversation, you can give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send us an email at nolimits@wfyi.org. You can find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at wfyi. My guests are Amy Kandrak, who is the founder and CEO of What Friends Do, Jen DeMott, who heads up customer experience, and Jill Tursik, who heads up product development. We've gotten an email from a listener named Shannon who says, can What Friends Do work for a long-term event? I'm thinking of a family whose mother has Alzheimer's and they are crushed with her care. I'll throw that one. Yes, Jen, you're the one leaning into
the
microphone.
It'll be me. Okay. Absolutely. It can be, you can use it for surgery that lasts a week and then done. You can use it for something like Alzheimer's where you have to manage care over an extended period of time. It's actually a fantastic way, especially if family isn't all in one city, one spot. It's a fantastic way to share information, to keep a calendar of upcoming doctor's appointments, a blog of what's happening, what doctors have said, what you've experienced when you've gone to visit, those types of things. You can do all of that on our page. I think it's also wonderful for elder care, same type of thing. You can do an Amazon wish list for things that you need so it doesn't always fall on that one family member that happens to be in town to purchase everything that's needed. It can work in so many different ways.
What I find fascinating about this is, you know, the perception of living in this digital age is that often the technology has isolated us. You know, I mean, whenever I think of something like this, I think of an experience I had with a couple of students of mine who literally were working in offices right across the hall from each other. And I said to one of them, we were working on a story, should we grab lunch and just continue talking about what we're doing here? And the one student who was sitting next to me says, I'll text him and find out. And I said, oh, no, time out. This is not the way people talk. We're going to walk the five steps across there and ask him. But in this case, it is proving to be a vehicle that pulls people. You know, and in your case, Jill, it pulled you into a contact with a woman you hadn't even known before and allowed you to respond to her need. Do you find that, I guess I just asked for your thoughts on that development.
I absolutely agree with you. I sometimes, when social media really started taking off, I would say, I think it makes people antisocial because, you know, you see younger kids, you know, doing texting or whatever. They're not communicating. They're not making eye contact. And so I do think that that's a wonderful thing about What Friends Do is we're using technology to bring people together, make people more thoughtful. We're all busy, but that doesn't change the fact that we want to help and be a good friend and a thoughtful friend. And, you know, with What Friends Do, you're reminded of that, and you're able to act on that through our site. You know, whether you're in Texas and you want to send a gift card or buy something off of an Amazon registry, you can do that. If you want to just leave a comment and say, thinking of you, you can do that. But yes, it's through technology that we're helping people be the kind of friends that they want to be.
Amy, you've been doing this now for, what, a couple of years?
almost 8 years.
Almost eight years. So what is the story, other than Laura's, obviously, that has touched you the most in this time, the sense of connection? Because clearly, I'm guessing you're making some money, but there are probably a lot easier ways to make money.
there are definitely some other ways that could pay the bills, that's for sure. Yes. There are a lot of stories, and I think each one warms my heart in a different way, and each one touches me in a different way. It's the times when I've had friends whose children have been diagnosed with cancer, and I've been able to use my platform that we've created to help them and to bring communities together. And that really makes the biggest difference. And knowing that things as simple as putting together a surprise care package to send to someone the day that they're having surgery, or one time I had a friend whose son was having a procedure done at the hospital, and my husband was working at the hospital, and I gave him a bracelet to sneak in to give to the nurses, to give to the mom, so that she knew that everyone was with her, supporting her through this situation. And going back to your comment a minute ago about, you know, technology
isolating us,
I think that this is actually allowing us to become closer. And all of the ideas that we have on here, you can implement with technology, but you have to have a personal relationship, and you have to have some sort of human connection anyway. And so that's what we're trying to do with this, is bring those human connections and integrate it with technology and how technology is moving forward.
And Jen, when they're trying to make those human connections, when they're reaching out, since you're the person, as you've said, mm-hmm. who's generally on the other end of the chat room discussion,
right?
What kinds of questions are they asking? What sort of help do they need from you that, you know, isn't self-evident with the site?
Sometimes it's just, I don't know what to do. Like, what can I do for my friend? We've set up meals. That seems to be the logical first step, because no one enjoys cooking, whether they're going through a rough time or not, or at least most people don't. Okay, I don't. But it's so that seems to be the logical first step. And then beyond that, it becomes very difficult to determine, you know, what can I do? They're going into the hospital. Or, oh my gosh, their hospital stay was supposed to be 3 days and now it's 10 days and I don't know what to do. And so because we've had multiple teams and we know what folks have needed in the past, it's easier for us to say, do they have children? Do you have arrangements for their children? Is there someone to mow the lawn? Do they have a pet? Can you, you know, can we set up pet care? Here are some things that you might want to put on the wish list. Let's not forget, especially if you have one child in the hospital, let's not forget siblings. So what do they enjoy? What are some things we could do for them? Just giving them those types of ideas seems to be one of the bigger questions we get, or one of the benefits to using a site like What Friends Do.
If you are just joining us, we are talking about What Friends Do. It's an online platform that provides structure to help people who want to provide some support for friends or family members who are going through difficult times. If you'd like to join the conversation, please give us a buzz at 866-476-3881. You can send an email to nolimits@wfyi.org. Find us on Facebook at nolimitswfyi or on Twitter at WFYI. Well, the other part, and I've saved this toward the end because it's likely to be the most emotional piece, all three of you are working with people who are often at one of the worst or weakest moments in their lives. I'm going to start with Jill first on this. I can't imagine you doing that kind of work or having those kinds of experiences on a daily basis without it changing you in some way, or or teaching you some things. So I guess I'd like to ask about what the biggest change has been since you've started doing this in your life or the way you look at the world, or the biggest lesson that you have learned. You can choose either one, Jill.
It can take an emotional toll because we get very close to our teams. And I think that one of the biggest things I've learned is just to, it just really opens you up to how many people are going through a crisis. You know, you're out buying groceries or going along with your daily life, and there are people going through really hard times. And so it's just made me a lot more aware, and it's made me become more proactive or more assertive in encouraging people to ask for help or to accept help, actually, because I've been an organizer for my best friend, and she did not want help. She was very uncomfortable with it, and it was hard on me to work at What Friends Do and not be able to get that message across to her. And but I was a little pushy, and I really encouraged it. And once I did that, she was so relieved. She was so relieved with the help, because we know from experience that you're going to need help. And so it's just getting people over that hurdle to ask, and more importantly, to accept help. And so that's probably the biggest lesson I've learned is how to get better at doing that. And so I'm trying to apply that through technology to make it easier to make that happen.
What if I'm not intruding by asking, what was your friend's situation? What was she dealing with?
She had breast cancer. And
Is she okay?
She is. Thankfully, it was caught really early, and so it was able to be treated with through surgery, and she didn't need any kind of treatment like chemotherapy. So, yeah, she was really fortunate, and she's on the road to recovery now.
That is good news. I'm glad
it is.
Hear that, Jen? How about you? What ways has it changed you? What lessons have you learned?
I have learned a lot of lessons. I think personally, being a caregiver myself, it has opened me up to the fact that it is okay to ask for help because people want to give it. I think that's what we see over and over and over with our teams, is that while it is so difficult to ask, friends step up and family members as well step up in a huge way and help out, because it makes them feel like they have some control over over situations that you really have no control over. So I think that's a big one. And I just, you cannot help but have faith in humanity after working at What Friends Do, and just seeing how wonderful people are, the fun ideas that they come up with. I know we have sat in our office and cried over videos that have been made for a sweet little girl that has a team on our site. And then you just go home and hug your own kids, because it's life is short, but sweet.
Amy.
Well, I think I've obviously experienced both of those things that Jen and Jill have mentioned, and the human role. My biggest thing is reminding myself to say something to someone. Reminding myself, as soon as I think of someone that has a spouse who's passed away, I need to reach out and say something to them about that. But more than that, I think my biggest lessons have been more around running a business, and a business that is not just it's helping people. Mm-hmm. And most businesses are like that too. I don't mean that they're not. I just mean it's not like all of the other tech companies who are selling a product. We're really selling these emotions. And that's been new and exciting and challenging and been a huge growing experience and learning experience for me.
Had you had any experience in business before this, or?
I had a lot of experience in nonprofit organizations, and I watched my parents run businesses as a kid. But, you know, starting it from scratch and building it up to where it is right now is new and fun and exciting.
And I would think, you know, the theme that that I'm hearing here, too, because I've been on the other side of that, too, where someone has come and you've learned something about a friend who's going through a hard time. And, of course, you say, well, if there's anything I can do, but there is that awkwardness because you don't want to intrude in what is also a fairly private moment. How do you, is there a place where folks who are in that situation can just plug in and use the site? Say, I just found out about this friend. You know, is there a way, you know, even outside of this structure that I can help? Yeah.
One of the fun parts of what friends do is that every single day of the year is a special day. Yesterday was National Kissing Day, so we suggested you send your friend some Hershey's Kisses as a way of very non-intrusive way to say, I'm thinking about you. It's National Kiss Day. You're on my mind. Maybe you're not going to really give them a kiss. But,
yeah. And hopefully know. They're not diabetic.
Hopefully they're not diabetic. That's another, yeah. But we have ideas like that for every single day of the year.
Okay.
And, you know, National Tell a Joke Day. Send your friend a joke. Ways to reach out and in that non-intrusive way just to kind of open the door to remind them that you're thinking about them.
Okay. We're getting a little bit close on time. So real quickly, if you would, walk me through again, because people have been listening to this, how they use the site, where they go, starting with the URL, and what the steps are like to set something up. We'll start with Jen.
Okay, so you simply go to www.whatfriendsdo.com. That's all one word. And you, if you'd like to set up a team, you simply click on Start a Team, and it will walk you step by step through the process. You only have to answer a few very short questions, and then it will take you onto the team page, and there it will walk you through what your options are. If you want to set up a calendar, if you want to set up a wish list, we'll walk you through step by step. And if you have questions, you can click on the chat button, and someone will help walk you through, usually me.
And again, there's no cost to the people who are using this or anything like that.
No
right?
cost at all.
There's no cost at all. We ask for your name and email address so that you can be contacted by your friend or the person who's organizing the information.
That will have to be the last word. I'd like to thank my guests, Amy Kandrak, Jen DeMott, and Jill Tursik, all of whom work for What Friends Do, a new platform that helps people who want to help their friends or family members who are in need. I am John Kroll. You have been listening to No Limits. Thank you for joining us.
No Limits is a production of 90.1 WFYI Public Radio, Indianapolis. Executive producer, Michelle Johnson. Producer, Shannon Cagle. Interactive media coordinator, Scott McAllister. Technical producers, Cedric Freeman and Chris Flood. And board engineer, Joe Hatcher. Abby Terzini screens our calls. No Limits is made available through IPBS, Indiana's public broadcasting stations.